You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday, Mike McNamara for Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Big day today, yeah. J.N. Mattis makes his first appearance. I've got some funny emails and some people have called me, friends of mine called me, I just got off the phone with. You've heard him, and you've heard his brother, Gary Kling, call sign Static, F-18 guy, the division air officer in 2004 during all that shit. Anyway, worked for General Mattis a couple times. He called me to say hey. He goes, how did you do that? He doesn't do this kind of stuff very often. I said, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, if you've never heard the story, Static, you know, he came on and we talked about being a division air officer in 2004. And then, I don't know, maybe a week or so later, he sends me an email. He goes, hey man, you need to have my brother on. And Static's brother, Chris, is a... what's it do when you confront somebody in your family? What do they call it? An intervention specialist. Joins the Marine Corps and then gets out of the Marine Corps. He's adrift, gets involved in drugs, winds up being an intravenous drug user on the street. And then he turns his life around. And then he gets his shit together. I think he goes back to school, gets involved in counseling, and then he's involved in interventions. And that interview is amazing. K-L-I-N-G. Listen to both of them. They're good. So Static calls me. And we're talking. And then I got emails. Let me read you a couple of emails. Mac, for those of us who have never been around him, what's he like to work for? Answer, intimidating. As you might imagine, I had never met him when I went to work for him. And the story is, his aide got, Steve Thompson, got wounded. He recovered. Steve was an artillery guy, General Mattis's aide, and he took a piece of shrapnel through the leg, another piece through the shoulder, and they were not small pieces either. They essentially had to reconstruct his entire shoulder. And so General Kelly walks in. I was working. Furness and Paul Kennedy were division planners, right, for the march up. And so that they wanted me to come work with them. And by the time I got there, Kennedy was commanding 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, and Furness was still there, but he was leaving. So I was going to work in plans for the deployment. And but Furness was still around. And so one day, Kelly walks back into plan, and he says, "I've got a new job for you." Now, I know Kelly, so this is 2004. I've known John Kelly since 1989, when I got to the basic school, and he was over at IRC. I met him. And I said, "All right." And so he tells me I'm going to be the staff sec. I had no idea. I've been out of the Marine Corps for 10 years. I never existed on a division staff. I didn't even know what the hell it was. So I'm faking it. Like nobody even knows. I'm like, what? So, yeah, this, you want to hear stupid, like me being stupid? The three was a guy named Clark Lethine. So one day we're talking about a fitness report, and he said, "Hey Matt, could you get me the digits on that?" And what he meant was, "Can you get me the electronic copy?" I didn't know what he was even talking about. So I'm going around. I'm like, what does he want from me? And like all dumbasses, right? When somebody asks you for something you don't know what it is, you don't say, "I don't know what that is," or at least I didn't then. I do now, but I was faking it. So I'm like going and talking to people, like, what is he looking for? The digits? What is that? And so, yeah, that's how like stupid I was. But Kelly, you know, so I become General Mattis' staff sec. And I'll tell you, I mean, he's an intimidating guy. I mean, first of all, his reputation. I mean, I'd seen him on TV. I'd never met him. Right? I'm part of the division staff, so I'm in big groups all the time. All of a sudden, I go walking in his office with John Kelly. "Hey, sir, this is Mac." He looks up, stands up. "Young man, how are you?" He's like, and I said, "I'm fine, sir." And he says, "Well," he said, "John's told me good things about you. He said, looking forward to working with you." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Any questions of me?" I said, "No, sir." And then we left. And then Kelly looks at me, and he said, "Not a bad idea. Keep your mouth shut, Mac. You'll do all right here." So I'll tell you, intimidating. And then what happens is you work with him a little bit, I mean, you watch stupid people in front of him, and he doesn't suffer it well. I mean, he'll be polite to a point, but, you know, he doesn't waste his own time, and he doesn't waste other people's time, and he's not afraid to cut people off and then tell them. And then smart people know, right? One of the primary skills is, don't tell him things you think, or don't muse, or maybe this, or, well, you have to, don't do that. He knows, if he's asking you a question, he knows 90% of the answer. He's looking for one nuanced piece of information. And so, you look and say, "Sir, I don't know, I'll find out." And then you go find out. And Gary Klein was just telling me, and if you go do that right away, he likes that. Because he's trying to make a decision. And he doesn't need you taking your sweet ass time. So anyway, what was like intimidating? Until you learn how to do it, which is work your ass off. If you don't know, say, "I don't know, sir, I'll find out and get right back to you," and then go do that. And if you'll work like that, you could work for him. Somebody else sent me a question. "Hey Mac, when was he the happiest?" He loves being around junior Marines. Absolutely, positively loves it. He has this smile, this kind of smirky ass smile that he has. And you know, I mean, he's very gracious to everybody. But when is he the most happy? He's happy because, I mean, he loves Marine. And makes no bones about it. Loves junior enlisted Marine. And the times that you would see him, I have pictures of him giving out awards, you know, pictures that I took of him giving out awards, and then him standing around talking. And then I think I have some other pictures of him just addressing the guys in his personal security detachment and who he loved. I mean, those guys, some of them had two Purple Hearts. I want to say over 50%, and he talks about it in the interview today, over 50% had a Purple Heart because obviously he was a target over there. He loved those guys. So, but he loves, when you see him there, and I saw a picture of him, and I used it on Twitter today. There's a picture of him in a picture of it's got to be like a dozen Marines. And they're taking a selfie, and he's in the middle of it. And he's standing there smiling, and all these junior Marines are taking a selfie with him in the middle of it. And, I will tell you this, that's the happiest, I've ever seen him. And then somebody else sent me an email about 15 minutes ago and said, hey, what displeases him? What displeases him are people that, one, if you're undisciplined, he considers that, if I could speak for him, be more blunt maybe than he is, because he's very polished, but when you're unprofessional, when you don't live up to your oath, and he sees that as not living up to your oath, when you don't take care of them, the hair on the back of his neck stands up. And he will clip you as quick as he can blink. He's not a screamer and yeller when that happens. He's just very matter of fact. Right? This. So you're going to need to go pack your stuff and you'll leave with me today. And then his instructions to me, you know, always, you know, I'd get a phone call and say, Mac, I'm bringing mostly Lieutenant Colonel somebody back with me today. Make sure that that he's treated top, you know, first cabin and get him on a flight out of here tomorrow. Yes, sir. And that's what we would do. That's what we would do. But he did not suffer that one bit. And I ask him about relieving people in the interview, so you get a chance to hear that. But you not living up to your oath was one. And the other thing was, you know, when he would ask a question, if you would kind of sort of tell him what you thought, he didn't really particularly care for that. He was looking for you as a staff person to tell him what you knew. And it's normally a fact, piece of data that he needed to make a decision. And so when you decided to go once over the world on him, he did not do this. Another one. How did you get the interview? If you go to the website now, I kind of redid the website a little bit last night. But if you go to the website now, the front page, there's three columns. If you're on a desktop computer or you're on a laptop computer, you'll see three columns on the front page. One is the Thoughts on Discipline series of interviews that I've done. Another one in the center is just all the interviews that I've done. And on the far right are the battlefield studies that I've done. When this whole debate about discipline, you know, spawned in the Marine Corps, it was pretty amazing. And it was amazing in a couple of different ways. It was amazing because the shrillness of it, right, was stunning. that people that had fought in one conflict were screaming, "How dare you tell us we're not disciplined?" And we're saying, you know, Garrison is chicken shit. The only thing that matters is what you do in combat. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me with this shit? And it went on and on. And then it became a national story, right? And so you had people writing about this discussion of discipline and General Furness and all the rest of this bullshit. And it was exactly that. It was bullshit. And so, so how did this come about? Reaching out to him, you know, along with General Van Riper, General Halleck, and there'll soon to be more, General Bedard. I'll get in touch with him today. And Sergeant Major Castle. And again, these guys have seen the Marine Corps in and out of different conflicts. And what are their thoughts? What do they know to be true? So that's how this came apart. I was surprised that he was just, you know, coming out of being the Secretary of Defense. He was as eager to do it as he was. But he probably called me, I don't know, two or three different times telling me that, you know, hey, don't forget about me. I want to do this. And I'm just moving. I got some stuff going on in my life. You may have read about it. But as soon as, you know, I kind of get this stuff all in one spot, I'll sit down and make myself available. All right, sir. So that's how it came about. But to me, what's cool about these things is it's really important, just like the battlefield studies, just like a lot of the interviews that I've been able to do in my life, it's really important that young leaders get a chance to hear in long format from these leaders who have done so much leading in the Marine Corps. And I love at the kind of towards the end of General Van Riper's interview when he says, you know, if anybody wants to tell me about the old Corps, they better be at least 83 years old. Right? It's awesome. And he said, because I've been around this, you know, if I've been around this gun club since 1950, whatever. So you better have been around it since before me. Otherwise, I don't want to hear that, and I don't suffer it. And so it's important to hear. And Gerald Mattis will talk about it in his interview today. He talks about the Marine Corps going to Korea. Why is the Korean Peninsula still free? Right? And he mentions T.R. Fehrenbach's book, This Kind of War. Because the Marine Corps hadn't, unlike the Army, hadn't backed off its standard of discipline. That the Marine Corps still could go there and throw a thunderous right hook. And it did at the Pusan perimeter. Helped to stabilize that. And then, you know, we had people that never even went to boot camp that learned how to be a Marine on going over as the remnants of the rest of the 1st Marine Division headed for Incheon, the landing there, and then up to the Chosin Reservoir. We had guys, Hector Cafferata, Medal of Honor recipient, who never went to boot camp in the Marine Corps. His some career was like 6 months. He came in, they put him on a boat, they sent him to Korea, he landed at Incheon, he fought up the Korean Peninsula, got surrounded at at Chosin, becomes, you know, gets wounded, becomes the recipient of the Medal of Honor, and then gets put out of the Marine Corps within, what, 6 or 7 months, I think. So what was the backbone of all of that? It was the discipline. It was the chicken shit discipline that people bitch about. So anyway, so that's the basis for him coming on and adding his voice to this discussion to me is important. And, you know, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny and I, we kind of roundtabled our thoughts on General Van Riper's interview. And Tim and I both said the same thing. We're both embarrassed that we didn't get it. And then me not wanting to take responsibility for myself, I blamed it on General Van Riper. I said, you know, they didn't tell their story. And, well, that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. The other part of it, it is true. We ran away from our Vietnam experience. And I think it is important for leaders in long format to talk about the things that happened to them and to talk about what they dealt with and the lessons they learned. And I mean, these guys, these men and women have led the organization. And I think it's important that they talk about things, because let me tell you, you hear the General Van Riper interview, and you hear that interview, and you no doubt about why we do what we do, why we need to be what we are, and all of that. I mean, General Van Riper, as a company commander of Vietnam, had 74 Marines under his command killed in action in a year. He had another 150 wounded or whatever, so he had over 100% casualties over the course of the year in his unit. And he starts talking about that, and you're like, holy shit. And I think it's important that we not define combat by what just happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the majority of those engagements were IEDs covered by direct fire, complex ambushes. You know, rarely, you know, was it, we'll close with you. You know, we've been fighting an enemy that won't close with us. Well, that's not the way the North Vietnamese did it. The North Vietnamese would close with it. So anyway, so to me, when we talk about peer fighting, go back to Leatherneck Square, Con Tien, Gio Linh, Dong Ha, Khe Sanh, Camp Carroll, that whole Leatherneck Square area. And read about the fighting that went on there in 67, 68, 69. Holy shit. Yeah, when the NVA would come to put our head on a stick. Now, that didn't happen very often, but they would close with us. So, anyway. And so to me, their voices, you know, and Jerome Mattis, you know, he didn't get to Vietnam. His brother was in Vietnam. And, I mean, he talked about that. And so, but he grows up in that Marine Corps, and to hear about that, you know, is interesting. And let me tell you, how cool a job do I have? I mean, it's awesome. I just got another email. General Bedard and Sergeant Major Castle. Holy shit, Mac. How do I get your job? Yeah, you're not going to get my job. I can tell you that. All right, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the news. So we'll get after that right now. Good morning on Tuesday. Special day, right? Chaos in the house. And again, somebody sent me another email a day or so ago. Hey, I've read that nobody called him Mad Dog. Is that true? Yeah. I mean, that's a media, you know. That's a media event, you know, or maybe people that, you know, maybe troops called him that, maybe young Marines called him that, but certainly nobody near him. I mean, I'd never even heard that, you know, I saw it in the paper, but, you know, his call sign was Chaos, right? And I've said this before, words that made people shit their pants, Chaos is Oscar Mike to your position at this time. What? That's right, man. You're in trouble. All right. No, you're not in trouble, hopefully. But good luck. You might be if your shit's not together. All right. So, United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. dedicated to General Van Riper, General Halleck, General Mattis, all who, Lieutenant General Van Riper, Lieutenant General Halleck, and General Mattis, all of who have given graciously of their time when certainly they probably have better things to do. So thank you for making the rest of us smarter, something they've been doing for us for a long time. I can't tell you how many, you know, people, you know, mention these interviews to me, saying, wow, you know, I learned a shit ton just listening to that stuff. So, well done, boys. Thank you very much.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
There it is. Winning. It isn't everything. It's the only thing. That's Vince Lombardi, I think. All right. Cooled off on the East Coast. Yeah, it was pushing 90 degrees at this time 24 hours ago. Raining in 71 in the Quantico area. Partly cloudy in 88 at Camp Lejeune. Cooled off in 29 Palms. Partly cloudy 86. Camp Pendleton's warmer, though. Clouds in 72. In Hawaii, it is dark, cloudy, and 80. In Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy, and 80 degrees. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, where there's combat operations rooting out ISIS again, going on right now, it is sunny and 106. In the Helmand province that is being negotiated over right now, it is dark, clear, and 101 degrees in the evening there. And at the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is warm. It is cloudy and 73 degrees, looking for a high of 86 today. Yeah, I got that going for you. 87 tomorrow and 84 on Thursday. All right, that is a look at the weather. When we come back, we'll check the news headlines. There's a bunch of it. Korean jets engaging a Russian MiG. Yeah, how about that? Members of the Pakistani government at the White House today. And also SEAL Team 10. Their abuse of cocaine, their lack of a drug testing program in the news. Mac, who's General Mattis's most influential military leader? Thank you. You know what? If you asked him that, he'd give you the name of a sergeant or a corporal. He would. I mean, he's incredibly well read. Yeah, like crazy well read. Been doing it his whole life. But if you were to ask him that, he'd give you the name of a corporal. He had two corporals and a staff sergeant when he was a lieutenant as his platoon sergeant, in the early 70s. And so I'm going to ask him if he'll come back and answer a bunch of these questions that I know are going to come out of this. So, I'll keep that. And I will ask him that if he chooses to come on and answer all these questions that I know are going to happen. So anyway, more of All Marine Radio. We'll take a quick break. More of this program coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, Colleen rode the bus to work. Growing up like a big girl yesterday. Yeah, I was busy. And I didn't feel like taking an hour out of my day to run her down to Newport Beach, the pier there. So she hopped on the bus. And I'm a good dad. I waited at the bus stop with her. And so she gets there. I said, "So, you got there, huh?" "Yes." "Anything bad happen on the bus?" "No." This guy was looking at me, though. I said, "Well, maybe you should wear those shorts so short." "Whatever, Dad." I'm like, "All right, then deal with it if you're going to wear them like that." All right, a whole bunch of stuff in the news. And then right at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock, you're going to hear the former commanding general of 1st Marine Division of 1MAF of CENTCOM and the former Secretary of Defense talk about discipline. So looking forward to that. All right, top of the fold in Stars and Stripes, South Korean jets fire 360 warning shots. I don't think when you get to 360, I don't think those are warning shots. I think like maybe 10 might be warning shots. When you get to 360, I think the warning, right? the warning left some point. South Korean fighter jets fired more than 360. That's like, yeah, they fired 4,000 warning shots. Like, okay, at some point, they're not warning shots anymore. That's just me. I could be wrong, but I'm normally not. After a Russian military aircraft violated South Korean airspace twice on Tuesday off the peninsula's east coast in an unprecedented breach, defense officials said. Russia's defense ministry denied that a border violation took place. Right? And again, how do we know the Russians are lying? Their lips are moving. The encounters occurred after three Russian and two Chinese warplanes entered South Korean's air defense identification zone, which is a buffer zone that's not defined by international law or treaty, officials said. A Russian early warning and control plane, AWACS, then advanced and briefly flew over the easternmost islets of Dokdo, which South Korea considers a violation of its territorial airspace. Seoul mobilized jet fighters, including F-15Ks and F-16Ks, which fired warning shots to block the Russian aircraft. Officials told reporter those flares and machine gun rounds that were fired towards an area more than a mile ahead of the Russian plane. The Russian plane left the airspace after 3 minutes but returned about 50 minutes later, according to a timeline provided by officials from the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Ministry of National Defense. The Russian aircraft finally left the airspace and flew out of the air defense identification zone after South Korean fighter jets responded again. Quote, "This is the first time military planes from a foreign country violated our territorial sky," officials said, speaking on a condition of anonymity. Next word. Out of Stars and Stripes. Turkey hints at pulling access to Incirlik and Kurusik if U.S. acts over Russians' weapons purchase. I think we already did. If Washington slaps sanctions on Turkey over its acquisition of a Russian air defense system, U.S. use of two strategically vital bases could be at risk, the country's foreign minister suggested. We are currently running the process, whether it's Incirlik, Kurusik, or other issues, Turkish Foreign Minister Melut Cavusoglu said on Monday. If America has very negative steps towards us, if there are sanctions or further steps, we will have answers to America. So, yeah. So you know this is coming. As Turkey continues to leave the orbit of NATO. All right. As Turkey continues to move closer to Russia and its own independent nation. My prediction is Turkey is going to get involved in its own civil war here soon. President Erdogan is running that country into the ditch. And we'll see how long they accept it. Next headline, drones watch every U.S. ship in the Gulf, Iran Navy chief claims. A fleet of drones has allowed Iran to watch every U.S. ship in the Persian Gulf region and develop an archive of their daily movements, Iran's top naval commander said in an interview published Tuesday. Like, is that a surprise? Quote, our drones have significant range and have no limitations in communication links. We have a complete archive of images of American vessels approaching from very far distances. This dude goes on to say, quote, an immense archive of the day-to-day and even moment-to-moment movements of American forces, whether in the Persian Gulf or the Oman Sea. Well, I hope so. Shit, we've only been there for like 1,000 years. You think you might have a collection by now? Dumbass. Interesting story about Marines who took out the Iranian drone for the cost of a tank of gas. So, the Marine Air Defense Integrated System, MADIS, M-A-D-I-S, not to be confused with MATIS, M-A-T-T-I-S, used a combination of components that include electronic jammers, radars, and gun systems to take down the UAV. The version of the system aboard the Boxer was mounted on a MRZR. So it's a kind of a new Humvee that was perched on the bow of the ship and powered by a gasoline electrical generator, according to photos released by the Marine Corps. The encounter was the first known kill by a new generation of electronic warfare and direct energy weapons the U.S. has developed over the past decade to handle the daunting problem of how to counter voluminous, low-end threats without resorting to wasting high-dollar missiles. And this is by Sam Legrand. So, yeah, so there's a picture of the Razor with these radar dishes on top. So, and the Navy, it's really important that the Navy figures this out, right? Drones, to watch it and to destroy them. So that story's still developing as more details come in. From Marine Corps Times, I don't know if you've seen him in the news, but there's a former EOD tech and who's lived in Virginia. His name is Rob Jones. Was a corporal and a combat engineer, was wounded on July 22nd in 2010 when he lost both legs to an IED. He's now announced that he's going to run for Congress. So, want to wish him all the best. You've probably seen videos of him. And so, I'm going to run for Congress in Virginia. So, good luck to Rob Jones. A survey. About public confidence in the military. Public confidence remains high, just so you know, and in particular among older people. They have a particular confidence in the American military. So that's interesting. Another story got published late yesterday, but written by Sean Snow. Now, do you remember General Berger's confirmation being held up by a senator from Alaska? Headline, Why Alaska Could Be the Corps' Next 29 Palms. The Marine Corps looks to fight in other climes, right? Our song even says so. Alaska may prove to be a better location to prepare for the big fight. At least that's the opinion of a Marine lieutenant who penned an article for West Point's Modern War Institute and an Alaskan senator who temporarily held up the confirmation for Commandant David Berger. The idea is not too far-fetched. According to Military.com, Senator Dan Sullivan, Republican from Alaska, asked Berger to consider Marine bases in Alaska at Port McKenzie, a mountain warfare training center in Palmer, Alaska, and an amphibious training base in Adak, Alaska. Sullivan dropped his hold on Berger's confirmation in June, but told Marine Corps Times in mid-July that the hold was related to Arctic and national security concerns. So, interesting. Interesting. Everybody I know that goes up to Alaska just raves about it. I've only stopped at the airport there on my way to Okinawa and on my way back from where Kyrgyzstan. Alaska's gigantic, right? You can fit Texas in Alaska like, I don't know, three and a half times or something like that. Yeah. Alaska's ginormous. So, anyway, interesting. Top five stories in early bird. We already talked about number one, South Korea fires warning shots at Russian warplanes. Number two, Trump says he has a plan to win the Afghan war in 10 days. Like, what? President Donald Trump told reporters at the White House on Tuesday that he's seen a plan that would end the Afghan war in a week and a half. American service members have been acting like policemen, he added, and the administration is leaning on Pakistan, who's at the White House today, to help it leave behind a more stable Afghanistan. Now, Pakistan believes they don't want a stable Afghanistan. They don't want to exist between India on one side and a strong Afghanistan on the other side that they would compete with. They like Afghanistan to be destabilized, inward-focused, and weak. Right. The president, quote, if we wanted to fight a war in Afghanistan and win it, I would win the war in a week. He said before a closed meeting. So what does win mean? You would destroy everything? Well, okay. I just don't want to kill 10 million people. Does that make sense to you? Oh, so you mean we could nuke it? Well, yeah, if that's your definition of win, then okay, I got it. Pakistan has been helping with peace talks. That's the biggest bunch of crock of shit in the world. Pakistan has been the sponsor of the Taliban since we got there. The president went on, quote, I think Pakistan's going to help us out to extricate ourselves. The Afghan peace barometer. It's not the peace barometer. It's the Afghan turns out well barometer from All Marine Radio. That's a compilation of Lynch, Kenny, and McNamara. Is like a, kind of an unhappy smiley face scratching its head right now. Barry McCaffrey, general type. Troubling listening to Trump Oval Office news conference with Pakistani PM. He baldly states that we have analyzed and considered using nuclear weapons to kill millions of people in Afghanistan as a solution to the conflict. What is Trump thinking? Good question. Don't scare. Hey, don't scare yourself by asking that. Okay, just stay in your lane. All right, stay in your lane. Next headline. Hold on, let me go back to the early bird. Number three, budget deal gives a big boost in funding to defense, but Republicans wanted more. So the president announced that, an 18-month agreement on funding. The Defense Department will see a hefty hike in its funding next fiscal year under the budget deal announced by the White House and Democratic leaders on Monday, but it won't be as much as congressional Republicans wanted. The nearly $1.4 trillion spending plan, which would prevent a government shutdown this fall and do away with the final 2 years of budget caps known as sequestration, includes about $738 billion in military funding for fiscal 2020, a 3% increase from current year levels. President Donald Trump on Twitter hailed the deal as a real compromise in order to give another big victory to our great military and veterans. But despite the increase, the plan falls roughly $12 billion short of the level that congressional Republicans had insisted was necessary to continue military rebuilding and keep up with national security threats. So, anyway. This is split houses. And we have had sequestration in the past. So, to me, this is... that a deal got made, period, is incredible. Because I would tell you that I thought we were headed to a very, very bad place. So the fact that a deal got done, that people made compromises and both sides are unhappy, holy shit, that sounds like government to me. Wah! Next headline. This is number five on the early bird. Internal report exposes cocaine abuse, lax testing inside SEAL Team 10. Yeah, I mean, come on. I'm not making it up. Before they were caught last year, several SEAL Team 10 special warfare operators snorted cocaine or spiked their booze with the banned substance, often defeating military drug tests they termed a joke, according to internal investigation obtained via a Freedom of Information Act request by Navy Times, story written by our friend Jeff Zulowitz. The Little Creek, Virginia-based command conducted urinalysis testing on April 9 and April 16, 2018, nabbing six SEALs for allegedly abusing cocaine and other banned substances. Several SEALs told investigators they had previously beat the tests program by swapping out tainted urine for clean samples, but they weren't screened very often anyway. I never got piss tested on deployment or on the road, where I was most often using one busted SEAL, said in a statement. So the way that doesn't happen is that somebody's got to stand in the head, and somebody's the observer. And you walk in with a cup, you piss in the cup, you seal the cup, you put the cup in the box. That's how it works. All right. Names and details involving the SEALs that were involved were redacted. The Naval Special Warfare Command declined to name the SEALs involved or the punitive action that was taken against them. But she confirmed that no SEALs went to court-martial in the wake of the urinalysis screening, and four were administratively separated from the service. A fifth SEAL ingested cocaine at his home on April 15th and killed himself the following month, investigators wrote. A sixth SEAL, Special Warfare Operator First Class Daniel Boggs, confirmed to Navy Times that he tested positive and lost his trident, which is your status as a SEAL. But records provided by Boggs showed an administrative board later cleared him of any wrongdoing. Boggs, 34, said he was given the option of remaining in the Navy with a different rating, but he says he will exit the service. He insisted that he never intentionally used cocaine and suspects he unwittingly drank from another SEAL's cocktail that was laced with the drug. Right. If there's a black dog involved in this, I'm not going to read anymore. At least one SEAL told investigators he would splice his drinks with cocaine while at a popular watering hole. So that's just to get high, right? He also said that SEALs, by paying no attention in the team, he also said other SEALs, by saying no one in the team took the urinalysis screening system seriously, they didn't know of other operators who were using drugs, but because he avoided illegal substances, he said, he really never had to worry about it. Now, again, we talked about this community, the special operators, in particular this group, the SEALs, right? Where did they learn this behavior? It's what they do, right? This is all contained in their culture, right? Drug use, right? Stealing money that is supposed to be, you know, paid to informants, all that kind of shit. So again, and a report early this year said there wasn't a cultural issue. Are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? All right, Pakistan's leader to visit the White House, seen as a key step to ending the Afghan mission. Again, I just don't know how it ends well. It may end, but the Pakistanis have been a huge problem in Afghanistan for the reasons I said. They do not want to see Afghanistan be united and then exist between India and an emerging, a growing Afghanistan. Senior administration officials told reporters in recent days that along with trade and human rights issues, Afghanistan would be the major focus of the talks, with an eye towards getting all sides to agree to end the fighting. The White House officials say that they are clear-eyed about the problematic connections between terrorist groups and the Pakistani military and intelligence, but also believe that the country's leadership has made steps towards rejecting terrorism and stabilizing the region. So, again, the proof is in the pudding. So we will see. People that have made, you know, lives doing, you know, business one way, all of a sudden, you know, to me, when the United States is desperately looking to exit the conflict, they will create everything they can do to create the appearance that, you know, nothing to see here. Go ahead and leave. It's all going to turn out well. You know, kind of like Vietnam, the Vietnamization of the war. And then when it all goes up in flames, what are we going to say? We tried? So, literally, I mean, Afghanistan going to be follow the same blueprint as the Vietnam War did? Ill-conceived decision to expand the war, stay there and do it, get tired of it, and then kind of negotiate this sham of a peace as a pretext for you to leave, and then when it all goes up in flames, you could say, you know what, we tried as hard as we could, but fuck it. It sounds like that's coming to pass. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. You're going to hear from the former Secretary of Defense, the former Commanding General of the Blue Diamond, the former Commanding General of OneMAP, the former Commanding General of CENTCOM, and he's going to talk about the an issue that's been a big issue in the Marine Corps, and that is discipline. So General Mattis sent me an email and said, hey, Mac, I'd love to be on and talk about discipline. If you're tuning in to hear, you know, some kind of expose on his time as a sec def in the Trump administration, you're going to be sorely disappointed. You might want to move along right now because that's not going to happen. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, former Secretary of Defense, Marine leader, and a charismatic one, Jim Mattis will join the program, and we'll have a conversation about the role of discipline. And again, this is all in the backdrop of General Furness's comments, programs that if you go to the website, you'll see a page called Thoughts on Discipline. And if you go to that page, you'll see General Van Riper's interview. You'll see General Halleck's interview and shortly General Mattis's interview. So this is the third in that sequence, and can't say thank you enough for him for doing that. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.